It's Wednesday, 24th of September 2014. This is HPR episode 1603 entitled Quebec 2014. Matthew Garrett Interview, and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by first time host 2B Frank, and is about 15 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to mail at linuxonings.net or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is: I was able to ask Quebec keynote speaker and free software activist Matthew Garrett a few questions.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name is 2B Frank. I am one of the hosts of a podcast in German called Linux ohne Angst, which is Linux without fear in English, which I do with my mate Pete from Strasbourg in France. We've been doing this for all of 6 months now, and we try to attend Linux conferences whenever we can. And this year, the GUADEC, the GNOME Users and Developers Conference, was held in our hometown, Strasbourg. So we thought that would be the ideal occasion to pop by and listen and talk to some GNOME developers, users. And it was very enlightening, and we will talk about it a little more in depth in the next issue of our podcast, if you're a German speaker, that is. But there also was the keynote, and it was held by Matthew Garrett, a prominent figure in the open source world. And I wanted to share this with you because I did a brief interview with him after the talk. So very briefly, for those who don't know him, who's Matthew Garrett? He's a programmer and a free software activist and has been a contributor to the Debian project. He has been a member of the Ubuntu Technical Board, and he's also worked for Red Hat and for Canonical, by the way. And for the two-letter, he, among others, worked on the UEFI bootloader, or rather how to be able to still install Linux on your system if you've got a computer that has UEFI and Secure Boot that our friends at Microsoft have imposed on us. And I think he's the man behind the Shim bootloader. And for his work on the Secure Boot problem, he was being awarded the 2013 Free Software Award. Currently works for a cloud computing platform, and has always been a strong advocate of software freedom. So let me briefly outline what Matthew said in his keynote before I play you the interview. The title was "Why Do We Desktop?" And he argued the way we use it has fundamentally changed in the last decades, from just displaying several programs at once to web apps, desklets, and social functions of the desktop. And later on, somebody asked if developing a desktop was still relevant in the time of tablets and mobile devices outselling PCs, and this was Matthew's answer.
People still want to have a traditional desktop environment for many purposes. And there is also the potential issue that while, yeah, desktop sales have declined, how much of that is because we're now at the point where every home already has probably at least one desktop computer, and in many cases, two or more. We've perhaps got to the point where the market's been saturated to a certain extent, and the market's no longer expanding as much as it was previously. People are buying tablets because they don't already have a tablet. People are not buying desktops because they already have a desktop. And that's going to be a factor here as well. I don't think the death of the desktop market is as drastic as some people believe. I think it's going to continue to be relevant, and I think we need to continue to be relevant with it.
Matthew also talked about the great players of the desktop world, Google with Google Chrome or Apple with its Mac interface, and that their goal is mainly to tie you into their ecosystem to sell you their stuff. Google Web Apps or iTunes for Apple. Microsoft's Windows 8 he called a consistent UI across platforms, somewhat to my surprise, over PC, tablet, phones and everything, and he used the term convergence here, without mentioning Ubuntu, who frequently use this term at this point. Later, he cited Ubuntu as a negative example for a distro that's trying to close their system down, tying it into Amazon, for example, with their desktop. According to Matthew, these are all missing the point, are there to sell products and tie users into their business model. What Linux and especially GNOME needs, he argued, was security as a primary concern, not just an afterthought. Privacy, for example, with apps that use Tor. Free of corporate control, open apps developed for the user. And he said the desktop should be social, cited GNOME as a friendly community, which I can confirm from this Gualek. Focus on diversity also, which is a major strong point of GNOME community. And he asked, who is the user? Is it an everyday user? Is it a developer? Or is it even a gamer? And his mantra actually was, we need to appeal to all. So that, I think, sums up Matthew's keynote, one of the keynotes at Gualek 2014. And afterwards, I was able to ask him a few questions. Here they are. So Matthew, this was a very much a sort of a declaration of really perspectives and ideology for the GNOME desktop and maybe for the Linux desktop in general. How, if you have to give a percentage, how much are we already there, do you think?
So, building a desktop along these lines, something that respects users' freedoms and their privacy and their safety, is fundamentally impossible without having an entire free operating system to build that on top of. And the fact that we have that in the form of the GNU user space under this kernel means that we've already got many of the codes we need. There's plenty of work to do, but I'm saying we're most of the way there. I think we can get to where we want to be in a relatively small number of years.
The case of Ubuntu is maybe an interesting case because they were the most popular Linux distribution. We're getting a brand name out there that was started to be known, I think. But you seem to consider it more as going a bit to the dark side, I reckon.
I'd say that there are legitimate concerns about design decisions that's been made within Ubuntu that are not necessarily to the user's benefit, but are instead there to benefit Canonical. And in a sense, I can see why, because obviously developing an operating system like Ubuntu involves money, and they need to find a way to make money in order to continue funding its development. I think they've gone too far in the direction of sacrificing user privacy and user safety in return for that. And I hope that they revisit that decision in future.
And you also said that you basically aim at all the users with the GNOME desktop, the gamer, the everyday user, maybe the developer who needs something very specific. Isn't that too big of a stretch?
I don't think so, because I think the majority of these users want the same thing. The majority of the desktop functionality is identical for all of these people. We can provide additional functionality that satisfies their needs without taking that away from anybody else. It's going to be something that's time-consuming to develop. We're going to need to identify these people's needs and then ensure that we can satisfy them. But I don't see any fundamental reason why this is impossible.
Mm-hmm. And the really everyday user that maybe, sometimes it seems to me, that's buying a PC like they're buying a fridge. Mm-hmm. You just buy a certain function and you expect it to function, and once your operating system goes down, you have to buy a new computer because you consider it the same unit, and no one says, hey, could I install Linux in that? Could I install something else in that? What do you think?
So in the sense of...
Is that a problem? How can we convert these people, convince them, try install Linux, look at the GNOME desktop, see if there's alternatives, when actually they consider that maybe too much trouble because there was just something to switch on and it works and does the thing they want to do?
I think Ubuntu demonstrated fairly well that it was possible to produce a Linux distribution that even unskilled users could install on their computers. And we can probably go further. There are certain iterative modifications we continue to make to installers to make it possible for users to do this with even less technical knowledge. But I think the distributions have that mostly under control. Beyond that, I don't think we're at the point where it's a strong technical issue now or even a strong difficulty issue. I think the problem is more that people are not aware that this is an option. And that's really a word of mouth issue. It's a marketing issue.
You said evangelism.
Yes.
But is it also a thing of getting a brand out there?
Having a solid brand makes it a lot easier to have a consistent message, to go to people and say, this is what GNOME is. This is why we're doing this. This is what we're going to be doing in the future. This is why you should be part of what we're doing. Yeah.
Okay, Matthew, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Okay, so this was our brief look at GuadEC, the keynote this year, and speaker Matthew Garrett. I hope, as I, you have enjoyed this and learned something. If you want to know more and you speak German, take a look at linuxohneangst.net. The address will also be in the show notes. If you want to send us reactions, you can do so at mail@linuxohneangst.net. And thanks to Hacker Public Radio, and thanks to Matthew Garrett. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.